Glad you're free this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, real believer in the message of this hour, we're really the only people, and that's by God's grace, that really knows what freedom's all about. Aren't you glad you realize what freedom is this morning? You have been liberated. You are no longer under the thumb of Satan. He no longer has control of our lives. We have been set free by the grace of Almighty God to believe a truth that the world laughs at, to believe a truth that the world don't want nothing to do with, but I'm glad I'll take everything they don't want. How about you this morning? Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. That sounded like you're down the road or up the road or at the graveyard. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a real good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. What a privilege. We had quite a fox hunt here last night. It was quite a fox hunt. Amen. We're so enjoying the word of the Lord. Little foxes. I'm just so glad that Satan has been exposed. You may have heard the story and read it in the news or heard it on the news. In Texas, there was a rattlesnake in a flower bed. And the man went over and cut the snake's head off. And it had been laying there about 10 minutes, a headless snake. So he goes over to pick it up, and the dead snake's head bit him. The man was in his 40s. It took 20, I think, The news was 26 vaccines to save his life. Now, the snake had been dead for about 10 minutes. His head cut off. And, you know, I liken that to old Lucifer. His head's been cut off. He has been so exposed in this hour. But he's still biting and he's still trying to afflict God's children. Still trying to do, he's defeated and he knows it. But he's still trying to do everything he can to upset the kingdom of God. But you know what? The sun's coming down. When the sun goes down, a snake dies. That's an old saying. I don't know if you ever heard that. But the sun's coming down on that old boy. And the sun's rising in God's children. You believe that with all your heart this morning? Let's stand to our feet, if you will. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say I'm glad I'm here. Oh, you're getting less all the time. Somebody say, I wish I was somewhere else. No, don't you do it neither. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. We're so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. What an opportunity to hear God's word again last night. And what an opportunity one more time we get to hear it again this morning. Such a privileged people we are. Don't ever take these opportunities for granted. Don't ever look at it as just it's somewhere to go. No, it's more than somewhere to go. It's the place to go. It's the best place to go, to the house of the Lord, to hear his word. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Shake somebody's hand, tell them this. Let's have church today. Will you do that? Shake somebody's hand, tell them let's have church. Let's sing that one more time, if you will, boys. Thank God I am free.
This world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way.
Hallelujah, I'm saved.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Frances Butcher. I believe that I got that name right. That's a sister of Sister Ruth Ann Carter, Sister Carol Wade. She fell and broke a bone. Not sure exactly of her condition at this time, but they're just praying and asking us to pray that the Lord would just be mindful of her and maybe she would receive her healing from the Lord. I want to pray for Isaac Wyco this morning. Sister Laura has taken him to urgent care this morning due to severe pain from needing a root canal. So let's just pray that God would be merciful into that need this morning. Brother Amos says to please remember Brother Philip and Sister Leah Dodd in family, family from Manitoba. They have a great need. The Lord certainly knows all about that. Let's just pray for their need this morning. I want to have prayer for Sister Baker's niece. Her mother passed away, so let's pray for that family. The Lord will be mindful of them. Sister Connie Cook sends this in that she has a very congested lungs, a very severe cough. She says, by his stripes I am healed. So let's remember her as we pray today and ask God to move on her behalf. I want to welcome to the service this morning Sherry Camp Taylor and her daughter. They're visiting from Louisiana. Where would those folks be? Would you just raise your hand wherever you're at in the room this morning? Give them a nice hand. We're so glad to have you in the service. Praise the Lord. And the music you were listening to last night and this morning, the pre-service music, that's Brother Larry Elliott's new CD. He has those available in the library, and I'm certain it'll be a blessing to you. Just really good soothing music, and I know it'll be a tremendous blessing in your home and your car. So if you want to stop by the library and pick one of those up, they're available over in the library for you this morning. We certainly appreciate Brother Larry's efforts. Well, he's just a good piano picker, ain't he? Amen. He just is. He is. Praise the Lord. He didn't give me a dime to say that neither. Praise the Lord. Now let me make this announcement. The church pavilion will be closed today due to the decorating regarding Bible school. Bible school will take place Monday from 6 on 6. Let's see here. Will take place Monday 6 through Friday 6:15. Okay, I'm with you now. I'm seeing what I'm reading here. June the 11th through June the 15th. They should have wrote it so I'd have known what I was talking about. And we'll be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Parents should pick their children up at 9 o'clock each night. Remember, that's from June the 11th through June the 15th, Bible school at the pavilion. So remember that. I'm sure it's going to be quite an event this year. It always is. Brother Michael and all the workers that do such a tremendous job, we certainly appreciate it, don't we? Amen. Now, do you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about today? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask a brother that this job belongs to, Brother Daniel Nunley, is going to come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. We certainly love and appreciate Brother Daniel, Sister Linda Nunley. They mean a lot to us. Brother Daniel said, what if I get up there and get to coughing? I said, just cough. People love to hear it. Just come on. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless your heart. We love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
It's good to be back in church this morning. Amen. I'm glad that we got victory over them foxes. Amen. God has given us the victory. And I'd like to just say a couple things before we pray. This past week, we went to Vanderbilt to see what they could do about my voice, my vocabulary, or my vocal cords got damaged. And they gave me two or three choices. One was Voltex shots into my vocal cords. The other was surgery. And the third was to wait. They said I had to about maybe 9 to 10 months to go away. And I think I'm going to go with the last one because I know in Isaiah 40 and 31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Amen. I got to also say a thank you to my wife that stood by me during this time. Also to people in the church. Brother Wills, thank you for coming by, working on my soffit for me. And different ones that mowed my grass. And you folks, brothers and sisters, that sent your cards, your phone calls, even food sometimes. I just thank the Lord for you. I'm glad that we're a family. More than that, we are the family of God. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to stand behind this pulpit once more. God, I'm so thankful that by your grace, Lord, you kept us unto this day and unto this hour. Thank you, God, because we know that you're real. God, we thank you for victory over those foxes. And oh, God, pray today that you move in this service, that you bless our pastor, Lord Jesus. Brother Donnie, his wife, what they mean to us, what they mean to this church. And Heavenly Father, we pray for each one that came out today. Pray for those, God, that visiting with us. God, those that had needs this morning, those that were sick, I pray that you move for them. The one that lost their loved one, God, pray that you fill that vacancy, Lord Jesus. God, we pray for every part of this service. Bless our musicians. Be with those in the fellowship hall. Take complete control of this service. Be with those over the internet. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Daniel. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's make this a tremendous service today. Can we do that? It's up to you. The atmosphere you create will determine what kind of service we have here today. How many of you want to be a good creator? How many of you want to have a real good atmosphere? Well, it's up to you. Let's do it with all of our heart. Will you do that with me? Are you going to sing with me? Are you going to worship? Can't do nothing without you guys. And none of us can't do nothing without God Almighty. We believe that, don't we? Let's sing the song we sung here Wednesday night. We're going to try that again. Praise God, He is alive. Aren't you glad that He is alive today? He's a very present help in time of trouble. I believe that with all of my heart. Let's see if we can find it. Boys, you've got it lined up back there. Make them words real big for me this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Do you know how it starts?
I have no idea, but we'll figure it out.
Good help is such a premium anymore. But I wouldn't take nothing for these guys on this platform. I tell you that. I wouldn't take nothing for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Words big, I can't see them. It was the morning of the third day. The women found that stone was rolled away. She found them, I can give.
the same since the moment Jesus made me whole. With joy I can proclaim.
Well, He's alive. The tomb is empty. That old stone, it's rolled away. There is nothing left but grave clothes. Death could not make Him stay.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad He's alive? Amen. Amen. Brother Joel Brown and his family, they have a song for us today. If they come on, be getting ready to sing for us. Let's do that little chorus. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. We just, some of you wasn't here Wednesday, some of you wasn't here Saturday, or we sang it again last night, but let's just sing that little chorus. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. He's blessed. His name is blessed this morning in our hearts, isn't it? Amen. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
As your people declare your might.
Say it one more time.
bless you. You can be seated this morning. Well, right here, some of the finest people that walks in the earth. Amen. Amen. We love them, don't we? Amen.
I'd rather live right than in hell, lift up my eyes. Oh, God's choosing to stand. Oh, stand. Tell somebody, say, stand. I decided to take a stand. I'd lose my best friend.
Sam.
But I'd rather live right.
Sam.
Then in hell, lift up my eyes.
Sam.
All God's children.
Sam.
Oh,
Sam.
Tell somebody, say,
you Sam.
Holiness,
stand for righteousness, can be counted among them that join with Him.
You stand
when friends are gone, stand when you're all alone, and believe you shall receive His home.
And be counted among them that strain with Him.
You stand when friends are gone. Stand when you're all alone. And believe you shall receive His home.
Stand for holiness. Stand for righteousness.
And be counted among them that strain with Him.
Wonderful. If I understood it right, I think the theme of that song was stand. Right? You're going to stand for something one way or the other, aren't you, in this day of division? I don't understand a lot of things that folks stand for that they think is so vital and so important to me. seems absolute craziness. But yeah, I'm sure they'd think what we stand for is crazy as well. So everybody's going to stand for something. I've heard it said many years ago, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I'm glad we can stand for what's lasting. God bless you. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would, again today. Chapter 2, verse 14. We'd like to take you on a brief fox hunting trip. Hopefully everybody come to go hunting with me this morning. I don't really need you to help me hunt my foxes. I need you to help hunt your own. Amen. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. I think sometimes that people think little sins aren't really that important. Whether they're little, medium, extra fat, or skinny, sin is sin. But people tend to think little sins don't really matter that much. It was just a little white lie. There is no such a thing. The devil told you that to convince you it's art for you to lie by polishing up and making it white. There is no such a thing. This is a great understanding for the bride to be able to see this. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines, excuse me, have tender grapes. My beloved is mine. Now she understands she has issues. She understands she's dealing with things. But she also understands it does not make her lose who belongs to her and who she belongs to. I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Oh, thank God for that hour. When the day will break and the shadows will flee away. Turn my beloved and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Let's bow our heads together. Father, once again, as we approach you through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that we can stand here today as your children. Thank you, Lord, that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We are still grateful, Heavenly Father, that the price was paid for us at Calvary. We thank you for sending us a prophet, Lord, to tell us the truth. But a prophet couldn't die for our sins. Thank you for evangelists and pastors and ministers and so on. But none of them could pay the price that was needed to release us from the sin debt. We never want to ever forget what you've done for us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for paying the price of our full redemption. We love you with all of our hearts. We love you so much that we want to obey what you had to say. We thank you for sending the word to make us free and helping us, Lord, to get our lives ready. Once again, would you speak to us today, Father, those things which we have need of. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I think we pretty much killed that little fox of slothfulness last night. But there was actually a little bit more that I wanted to deal with that I didn't get to because of running out of time. So just in case he's got a little bit of wiggle left in his tail, or his nose might be still twitching a little bit, before we go into another fox, I'd like to look at a little bit more about that little slothful fox. Now, I know already, without asking any of you, that more than likely the majority of us have dealt with slothfulness one time or another. Slothfulness, that little fox, he's a cunning little fellow. He's not like other foxes in that he will stay on you all the time. But he comes and goes. This is what gives him part of his deception, part of his elusiveness is based upon this, because he knows better than to stick around, you know, consistently all the time. So he'll hit you a little and then back off and hit you a little and back off. But we want him to know we understand his tactics. It makes no difference how big a devil is, how bad he is, or how bad he thinks he is. As long as he can bluff you by blinding you to his tactics, he's got you if he's that big or if he's as big as a house. But once we can realize, and as the scripture said, we are ignorant, we're not ignorant concerning Satan's devices, and that is the means by which he's going to attack us. It don't matter difference what the devil does, he'll never defeat you because you understand what he's trying to do. Let's read a couple of verses of scripture if you would this morning. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Wow. Let me read that again. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You realize you're going to follow somebody. Somebody is going to influence you. I don't care how old you are. It makes no difference what you do. Somebody is going to influence your life one way or another. Why not let it be somebody like this? Now, watch this. Brother Branham, I love the way that he prays. You know, he just is able to get the consensus of humanity. And his prayers are so sincere. And he opens up before God, not only for his own shortcomings and needs, but for the people that he's been sent to minister to. Listen to this in question and answers on Hebrews. We pray you forgive us all. Forgive us. Oh, listen. Forgive us. Listen. Listen. Forgive us of all our slothful ways and our stupid ways. I know it's not proper to say it that way. I ain't worried about being proper. I'm worried about being right. The sooner you and I can realize that we have slothful and stupid ways left about us, the easier God can deal with us. It's when we idolize ourselves and think we are free from such that we're still not very far up the road. Now listen, we pray you forgive us of all of our slothful ways and our stupid ways. Listen to this. And just remember us, Lord, that we're human flesh in a dark world. A world of darkness and sin and chaos. Oh my. Remember us, Lord, that we're still in a dark world, a world of darkness and sin and chaos. Don't you want God to remember you that way? If he don't, we're in a mess. Watch this, return in jubilee. Persecution always gives strength to the church. We've had it too easy. We get slothful. We get to a place where we don't want to move on. Because everything is just handed to us. It takes sorrow and tears and sweat and prayer and faith and promise to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when things are handed to us on a silver platter, as we say, what does it do? It makes us lazy. It makes us slothful. And sometimes God has to upset our world. Oh my, it's a shame that we force him to do it, but he does. Notice again in desperation. Usually it takes a state of emergency to throw us into desperation. See, it's too bad it has to do that. But human beings are so slothful in their mind, it takes an emergency. Guess what? All of us are in the same pile. We're all human beings. Now notice he doesn't separate elect from that. He doesn't separate foolish virgins. He puts all human beings in the same pile. How many humans we got here today? What's all the rest of you? Dogs, pigs, cats, horses, wolverines? How many human beings we got here today? Then this is you I'm talking about. You're lazy. You're sorry. Included with your pastor. Included with every preacher here, every deacon. We're all human beings. And we tend to get slothful and lazy. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to church.
Amen. But they're human beings. Notice he said they are so slothful in their mind that it takes an emergency. Something arises when they do, then it throws them into that desperation, that really in doing that desperation. Now notice how God does. It's amazing to me that he is so willing to deal with us, even in our slothfulness and when we tend to get lazy, that he will not give up on us. That he won't say, I'm tired of fooling with you. I ain't fooling with you no more. But he loves us so much and is so willing to work with us and bring us to the place of accomplishment that actually he will take that part of us which absolutely works against us. He'll send an emergent situation our way and cause that situation to bring us to a state of desperation. And that situation will actually bring out the best in you. And it looked like that Satan was going to absolutely destroy you, annihilate you. You'd never get out of the spot that you were in. And God said, watch me move, devil. And the Spirit of God moves in such a way and causes that situation to come about. And there you are in the midst of a thing that you're thinking, what in the world am I doing here? How did I get here? And the best thing I want to ask is, how am I ever going to get out? And God changes the situation, turns it around, and actually causes it to bring out the best that was buried beneath you in all the hedgerow that you'd allowed to grow up in your life. Now watch, really in doing that in desperation, it brings out that real thing that you are. It shows what you're made out of in the time of desperation. It usually pulls all the good things. Listen to this. It pulls all the good things that's in you. Only God can do such a thing. Notice again now, see how serious that slothfulness really is in dealing with it. Oh my, I love this one. Oh God, let us check up tonight, Grant, knowing that these things are only warning us of the soon rapturing church. And if we are laden with sin and with unbelief and with slothfulness. Now I ask you, is this important stuff? If we are laden with sin and unbelief and slothfulness, we will not make the rapture. It makes no difference what you know, how deep you are. If you are laden with this, it will actually cause you to miss the rapture. God help us. God help us. If we are laden with sin, with unbelief, and with slothfulness, we shall not make that rapture. We know it, Lord. So we pray that you'll burn into us the Holy Ghost. Down into our hearts, oh God, set our souls on fire with your blessing. Now, what is he giving? He's giving an antidote for sin, unbelief, and slothfulness. Because the Holy Ghost cannot burn in our souls and we be slothful at the same time. It's totally impossible. So you're either on fire and you're moving forward, or you're regressing and you're becoming cold and indifferent and loose. And with that will come slothfulness. For me, this is the way I feel. God, let me burn. Let me burn until the Holy Ghost burns everything in me out that's not pleasing to him. And the church said, now, we realize in order to do this, God has given us his word, and we must watch this little fox called slothfulness. If you'll give me a big amen, we'll go to another one. Amen. Thank you. Now, let's go to another fox this morning called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Now, this is a tough little guy to deal with because he involves our hurt. He involves our emotions. He involves our pride. He involves family many times and friends. Matthew 6:11. This is a very famous prayer that many of you probably learned in Sunday school. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now the prayer may stop, but the consummation of the revealing of what's in the context of the prayer continues on in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses. Now Jesus is no longer praying. But Jesus stops praying after they ask him to teach them how to pray. Jesus ends the prayer with amen. Now he goes into explaining what he has just prayed. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You mean me being forgiven has a connection with me forgiving other people. So if I do God wrong and I do you wrong and I won't forgive other people, then even though I ask God to forgive me, God won't forgive me because I don't forgive others. Notice in verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I thought forgiveness was based upon my faith of me being able to believe that God could forgive me, and it was based on that alone. You need to reread your Bible a little bit more. You see, our forgiveness, and how many knows we need it every day of our life, but it's not just based upon us believing God will forgive us, but it's also based upon us forgiving those who trespass against us. Now, in looking at that, it kind of makes me wonder how many folks aren't actually forgiven themselves because they haven't forgiven others. It's simply because of a misunderstanding, and they think that that doesn't really matter. But according to the words of the Lord Jesus, it does matter. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now Peter goes to plumb to eternity. He goes back out to the horizontal rainbow, crosses and comes back, stands before the mercy of God, feeling so great and so my close to heaven. And he reaches to the extremity of his forgiveness and said, shall I forgive him seven times? Peter thinks he said such a godly thing. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He blew away his religion. And that's exactly what God wants to do to you today. Blow away your religion and give you salvation. I don't care how well we can do all of these things. They will never meet God's standard. You might be gentle. You might be kind. A lot of that is human nature given. There's lots of people that can forgive by human nature. God will see one day you'll meet somebody. You'll have a situation in your life that you cannot take care of it. And then you'll meet yourself face to face and realize, I need God in this situation. For strong people, it's one of the greatest battles they'll ever deal with in their entire life. And you know what it'll be? This is why that it takes years for some people to ever get to a place of total surrender. Because they're strong in this avenue and that avenue and that avenue of their life. And there's very few things that they face that they cannot be able to really cope with and deal with. And God has to beat the fire out of them until they get to a spot to where they realize they just cannot do it. It's much easier on you, God, the angels, even the poor old devil. If you'll just go ahead and acknowledge it, you can't do it anyway. I cannot do it. I don't care how good we are. We cannot live this life without God in us. It's impossible. Oh my, notice again in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, you mean forgiveness of my sins is conditional. And the church said, amen. That your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye, do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Oh, this is a sly little fox. So he creeps into your garden of love and mercy and kindness. And he begins to eat on your little tender branches. He eats all of them off as far as he can reach. Then he takes the grapes and then he digs around the root of your little vines. He goes to pulling on the bark. You feel justified because this person hurt you so deeply. You'll never be able to forgive them. You're hurting yourself worse than you're hurting them. Because no doubt during that day and the next day and the day after and the next week and the next month and the next year, you'll have so many times that you'll have to go before God and say, God, please forgive me. I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, please forgive me. I got upset. I shouldn't have said that to my husband and or wife. And you continue praying. You continue going right on. Oh, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, please forgive me. And you imagine a year's worth of sins have not been forgiven simply upon the basis that you did not forgive the person who trespassed against you. We better get our guns out. Notice this. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive. Well, listen, friends. Jesus is not making you an unbeliever. He's still identifying you as being a son or daughter of God. And God is still your Father. Your Father, which is in heaven, will neither forgive your trespasses. So you are a son or daughter of God. He is not unchristianizing you. He's not taking away the basis of your faith and what you've accepted God to be in your life. But he's saying you've got all of this accumulation of sin based upon what you've done that is unforgiven. Why? Because a little fox of unforgiveness has eaten on your life and you are holding a resentment against someone who's offended you terribly. Well, I see right now this is going to be a quiet morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this is the key. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. This is the way you are to forgive others. For Christ's sake. Now remember, God can fail absolutely by the blood of the Lord Jesus, where you and I will fail and fall short of the glory of God. God can forget what we ever done. We don't have that capability. And we cannot help thoughts coming into our mind even after we have forgiven a person or persons that have offended us or done some great harm to us. We cannot ever get to a spot to where that our mind is totally washed. In time it may fade away, but there may be things of that sort that you will always remember. You're not even looking for it. You're not trying to bring it up, but there will be things that will trigger your memory. Amen. But yet that does not mean you have not forgiven the individual. Notice Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Perfect faith. Faith is based on forgiveness then. Then as we said this morning, we're trying to get the church into a place to where we can really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger for. How many here hungers that? I sure do. That's what's just laying right at the door. We see it, but we want to see more of it. Now you imagine apostolic times are tied to our ability to forgive sins. So we'll never see it as long as we're holding grudges. And that little fox of unforgiveness, I'll tell you one thing, he said so-and-so against me, she done so-and-so, I'll never forget it, I'll never forget him, and you'll never go any farther with God. That's why Satan knows it. Isn't it amazing? You're not drinking, you're not smoking, you're not running around. Your sisters maybe wouldn't cut your hair. You would never put on a miniskirt or nothing like that. But this right here will absolutely keep you out of fellowship with God, an unforgiving spirit. Forgiveness is the act of granting pardon to another person who has trespassed against you. Forgiveness is the act of granting pardon to another person who has trespassed against you. Let's say that someone gave your high school child or your grandchild some drugs at school. And that started them, and they became addicted by those drugs. And the next thing you know, that they're having addiction help, and they're going through all of this process, and you find out who it was. Now, oh my, oh, maybe it was somebody at the church. Maybe it was somebody that gave them a cigarette and they sneaked around, and it might have been some kid that comes to the church, and it's, oh my, that is absolutely unforgivable. I will never forgive them. Or somebody molested your sister, or somebody did some horrific. I'm not talking about a little bit, oh, you got my seat this morning. I'm talking about horrific sins. I'm talking about things that are so devastating that it affects people's life that they will never be the same again. Can you forgive that? I don't really consider I have an option. I need forgiveness myself. I refuse myself. You choose your own life, all of you will. I refuse to live with an unforgiving spirit. I refuse to live tormented by unforgiveness. Now, I don't mind telling you, I've had to forgive a lot of folks. I've carried a lot of things. I've been treated worse than you can imagine in your mind. Oh my goodness. But you know what? I refuse to live underneath that unforgiving thing. Because I know that it will destroy my walk with God. It would have the capability of destroying our church. Now, if one of you get an unforgiving thing on you, the church might be affected in a mild way. But what if I get that on me? Then it'll hinder the church, it'll hinder our growth, it'll hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost. I tell you one thing, friend, I refuse to let this fox gnaw me. Do you fight it, Brother Don? Oh, yes, I fight it. You better believe I fight it whenever people run me down and do me wrong and do me harm. But I'll guarantee you one thing, it ain't going to eat my grapes. It ain't going to get my tender branches. It ain't going to get my bark. It ain't going to have enough time to dig down there, because I'll get my shotgun out. And if I got to, I'll blow my little toe off if he's so close to my toe in order to get that fox out of here. Much of our problem is we use our shotgun on one another instead of fox hunting. These foxes know some of you all ain't going to kill them. You know what their safety is? They huddle up real close to your foot. And they know you won't dare shoot yourself. You love yourself too much. Now, some of these foxes I've described, and there's all huddled around me, I'd look like a sieve this morning, because y'all have took your 12-gauge when I drank water for breakfast this morning. I'd look like a sprinkler, because you don't have no problem shooting me. You don't have no problem shooting your brother or your sister. But boy, if that fox gets real close to your leg and he rubs up against you, oh, I better not shoot. I might miss and hit myself. That's the whole thing God wants you to do, is hit yourself, because you're the problem. Oh my goodness. You see, forgiveness is, it's a mystery, really. How forgiveness can work. Because it's an inner release from one who's been so transgressed against. One who has the human right to be offended. One who has the human right because someone did something terrible, absolutely terrible to them. And they would have the human right to be able to hold this grievance against this individual. But something within them actually releases that from within their being. And it helps them to not only just say it. Now we know we've all had people that apologize to us and they did a bit more mean it than the man in the mirror. A lot of that's our own fault because we teach that to our kids. Say, you're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry too. You need to give them a whooping. And teach them how to apologize. But how can kids know how to apologize and parents don't know how? Well, praise the Lord. But someone who really knows how to apologize and from their soul really means it, it's like a release happens in a twofold way. They themselves are released from the thing of trying to get even with that individual. And when they actually feel that, then the individual will sense from their soul that there's something there. They still may be dealing with the thoughts and the memories of it, but the individual can actually sense and know they have really forgiven. They've really, now this cannot be done unless it comes from the individual themselves. They may say, I forgive you. I forgive you, but if you ever do that again, I'll smack you if I forgive you, but I still don't like you. You stay away from me and stay out of my face. Don't you sit in the same pew. I said, as a matter of fact, I wish you'd go to another church. But I forgive you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I believe if you forgive them, something will be released from your heart. This is the key. That is released from the heart of God every time you ask for forgiveness. You see what it is? It's God himself being able to forgive out of us and releasing us. What does it do? God's saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. How do you know he has? Just by words? Or does not God release something to us as an individual that when we take him at his word, that somehow, Brother Terry, we know he has forgiven us. How many still need forgiveness from the Lord? How often? Once every 7 years? Y'all Jubilee Christians, will you come every 7 years and you ask for forgiveness where you need it or not? You just go ahead and bring your rosary beads and Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins now, the time of our death. You know, no, let's be honest, we need it every hour. I need him every day, every hour. Oh, it's not that I'm sinful and wretched and wicked. I'm just living amongst a bunch of people out there. I live in a dark, sinful world. You heard the prayer of the prophet of God. This is why we need help. And yet forgiveness can be one of the hardest things that some people ever do. Because they are so hurt. So disappointed. So let down. So if after church today we dismiss, we all start leaving out of the driveway a little at a time. A drunk driver comes down the road. One of your children or mine, grandchildren, standing near the road, runs off the road, up into the parking lot, kills one of our children, one of our grandchildren. We don't like those thoughts, do we? Hopefully that'll never happen to any of us. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you knew the secrets of me, the hearts of the people who sat here, you'd find such horrific things that's happened in their lives. Can we forgive? Can we really forgive? Or do we do it from here and still hold the release of forgiveness within our souls? That's when your sins begin to accumulate. Is it easy? It's not. Is it easy for a wife and she finds out her husband has broken his vows? He's been unfaithful. Is it easy for a husband to find out the same about his wife? Is it easy whenever parents find out things about their children? It's not. Their pride is injured. Their feelings are injured. So much about us is so involved in hurts and offenses. But can we actually get to a place to where we forgive for Christ's sake? I hope this makes sense to you, that we sometimes will have to forgive people that won't even ask us in the right way. You say, why in the world would you do that in order to keep the hard feeling out of yourself? You know as well as I do, there's been people you've had to forgive. They ask you half-heartedly. They didn't mean it a bit more than nothing. But you, with that feeling from within your being, was able to release them, even though you felt like they owed you a more sincere, a more consecrated, a more lengthy, maybe even apology. But the secret was, and the key was, you was able to release them on their half-hearted repentance. I'm glad we can do that, because our Father has to do us that way sometimes. There's times that we've got caught in sin and caught doing things that we was not sincere when we repented. We're sorry that we got caught, not really sorry that we done it. And yet the preacher got up and burned our hide, and we kind of, how many needs help? God, I need help today. I wish Brother Donnie hadn't preached that. Don't get mad at me. I'm only the mailman. Don't get mad at me. I just delivered and dropped the mail in your box. You're the one who goes out and picks it up and opens it up. And yet it's not, many times it's not really sincere. It's not genuine. But God looks at it and God sees where you are. And God says, I forgive you. Then later you say, Lord, I was so hardened. I was so, oh, forgive me, Lord, for even my repentant attitude. It was not right, Lord. But he knew you'd come to it. He knew you'd come to it. He knows how we are. He knows the darkness of this world, how it affects our minds, our conscience, even our ability to perceive right and wrong. So can a wife forgive her husband? Can a husband forgive his wife? Answer me. Can it be done with sincerity and truth? Can the person release from their being that individual's guilt? Now you're looking at me like I'm crazy. If you don't get this, I'm going to look at you like you are. Friends, look, I'm not talking about church people. I'm not talking about Laodiceans. Now we're talking about bride material. See, she's the only one that has this character. She's the only one that can do this. But since this is what we profess to believe and be, I'm not preaching something that will not be achieved and attained to. And I'm going to be one of them. The Lord actually releases to that individual who has the power to forgive the grace to go the second mile. The ability to turn the other cheek. And they themselves look at the situation and they marvel that they were even able to do this. But in reality, it wasn't you anyway. This is why he looks at you and says, turn your eyes from me. You are so beautiful. What I have done in you is so tremendous. You have captured me. I am a prisoner of yours. But it's not us anyway. The only thing that we're doing is learning how to submit. Oh, Brother Donnie, I can't forgive that way. I understand. I can't love that way. I understand. And he understands. All he wants you to be is like this microphone and this body pack that is on my side. This body pack is turned to a certain frequency. It doesn't do any good until the receiver back there is turned on the same frequency. And when I speak into this, it is wireless. The only thing you see is this little antenna right here. It is wireless. My words, as soon as I say them, go right into that and they go around the world because it is tuned up the right way. This microphone has never delivered any of you, but yet the words which have delivered you have come through this microphone. Amen. And words that have cast out devils, prayers that have healed the sick, words of encouragement that have lifted you up, and this microphone never done one of them. Come on, saints. And it's the same way with you and I. We can't love beyond human capacity. We cannot forgive beyond human capacity. But you're only a microphone that God puts on his ear, as it was, and said, let me love through you. Let me forgive through you. Let me have your body. And I'll fill it with my person and I'll forgive. To forgive someone does not mean we excuse sin. To forgive someone does not mean we belittle the sin or the great degradation that they have done by what they've done wrong. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness recognizes it's horrible. It's terrible. Praise the Lord. You've heard the story before of the preacher that fell out with another preacher friend of his and began to spread rumors around about this man. Told this preacher and another preacher and another preacher, and preachers are sometimes, they can be real gossipers now, tongue waggers. Well, hallelujah. So sometime later, the man feels real guilty about what he's done to this friend of his. And so he comes over to his house. Said, I want you to forgive me. Please, I've run you down. I don't know why I did it. I've run you down. I want your forgiveness. So the brother says, wait here. Goes into a room, comes back out. Has a pill in his hand and a knife. He takes the knife, cuts open the pillowcase. Said, would you step outside with me? So he steps outside, takes the pillow, throws it up in the air. I forgive you. But how are we going to gather all these feathers back? Well, praise the Lord. Now, can a person really forgive? Because there'll always be an element of people that don't like you anyway. And when that feather comes blowing their way, they'll hoard it up and keep it. They'll put it in their Bible. They'll put it in their secret treasures because they never did like you. And now they've got it. They've got this feather honed up. Oh my, they're going to keep it the rest of your day. Now you knowing that and knowing that this person will be affected by it and that one and that one. And the more feathers there and it's on a windy day and they blow everywhere. And your knowledge, if you're not careful, will battle against you forgiving. But they done so and so. They publicly humiliated me. They put this on Facebook, trash book, to Facebook. Whatever you want to call it. I'll tell you, the man who made that's going to have a slim chance getting in the gates, if you ask me. God can forgive all things, but that Facebook has been one of the biggest detriments your world has ever known. Come on, friends, get quiet if you want to. Doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists are already doctoring people with therapy and all kinds of things. You understand, folks that are really addicted to Facebook, they have traced it down through MRIs and the studies have proven it's the same part of your brain that becomes stimulated as heroin. And people, they get on there, they become so addicted to it, they cannot live one day without it. It's like a fix. It's like a hit. Come on now. Why? Because it's Satan that knows exactly how human beings are and knows that the nature of some are so easy to become addicted to so many things. Oh, others of you laugh at it and make fun of it. It's not something to laugh at. It is a serious thing. It is a serious problem. Many people use it, sure, for a good thing, but I guarantee there's a whole lot more that don't use it for the right thing. They use it to do what? Spread feathers. Can you forgive the feather spreader? Praise God. But I'll tell you one thing, Brother Donnie, people don't go that way. That's the fox talking. These are bold little outfits. You see, when the Arctic winter begins to lose its hold, and the tundra begins to warm, something is already in motion and has been in motion for quite some time in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, the southern states. The snow geese, the Canadas, many ducks, many winged fowl start heading toward the tundra. Because there will be so much sunlight. There will be so much for them to feed. They're young. And they head toward the tundra to be able to breed and bring forth their young. But they're not the only ones there. There's also the Arctic fox. Now in the wintertime, an amazing thing happens to this Arctic fox. He's like the ptarmigan bird. The ptarmigan is a very small bird, about this big. He goes through phases of color change. The Arctic fox does the same thing. In the summer, he'll begin to change his hues of his plumage, the bird. The fox will begin to change the color of his hair. He'll come from a darkish grayish brown, which is a summer color. And he'll start blending and fading in to a color of camouflage, which is white. Now, you wouldn't think of white being camouflage. But on the tundra, since it's covered with snow, white is what you want. So the ptarmigan goes through these stages, and the fox does the same thing. Now, when these geese come in and they land by the millions, they go to fighting for a place to nest, and they go to fighting it, and you know what? The little fox is waiting. Oh, she's not very big, maybe like this. I've got one in three phases of the mounts that I've got, where they're in the dark stage and the lighter stage, and the lighter stage, they're real white. And whenever they're so white, they're as white as these balusters here on the platform. And the only thing that has one speck of color at all is their eyes. And when they huddle around and bury their eyes, it looks like a ball of snow laying there. They are totally, completely camouflaged. You see, that's the way little foxes do to our lives. They camouflage around our shortcomings, our inferiorities, our fears, our complexes. So we look down when we hear a sermon like this, and we look down and say, I don't see any. That must have been for Brother Harry. I wish the Lord had just led Brother Donnie to go over to Brother Harry's house and just told Brother Harry all this stuff instead of putting all the rest of us through that torment. I mean, if Brother Dowell's got an issue, why didn't Brother Donnie just call him up on the phone and tell him instead of putting the rest of us cherubims through all this hard, lacerating preaching? Now, you understand what they're doing? They're looking right around themselves, but they don't see a flaw, Brother Amos. They don't see a problem. You know what? The fox has got on camo. And you know what he's camoed with? You. He looks like you. He looks like your inferiorities. He looks like your fears. He looks like your trauma. He looks like your scars. So he's so camoed, you cannot differentiate him between your own foot. Preach Jesus. Praise be to God. So the little fox paces and she waits. And whenever she sees the male and female getting together, she knows it won't be long. Eggs will be by the multitudes. But they're not easy to get. Now this big goose is bigger than her, meaner than her, but she's conniving and sneaking. So she'll run right in the middle of these geese, paired off by pairs, hundreds of them sitting in an area the size of this church. But she's bold. She's brazen. You know why? She has little ones. She'll run right in the middle of those geese, and she'll start trying to steal an egg. They'll come, they'll flog her, they'll hit her. You've seen how geese can be. They can be very mean. She'll go right in the middle of that danger because it's in her to fight. She packs off eggs, she buries them. Then when the eggs hatch out, she goes in and steals the babies right in the middle of danger. They'll be squawking, they'll be flying, they'll be flogging her, they'll be running, but she'll go right in the middle of it anyhow. That's how determined these little foxes are to get to you.
Can I go on? Y'all doing good? Well, pretty good anyway. I know it's hard to do good when you're being killed, but
to forgive does not ignore the wrong. Mm-mm. To forgive does not mean that we lessen the damage of that which has been accomplished by sin. But what it means is we value the friendship more than we value the hurt, and we release the person with forgiveness. You see, for those who cannot forgive, they value their hurt, their self-pity, their pride more than they value the friendship with that buddy of theirs or brother or, you know, preacher buddy or whatever it was. So they value that. And because they value their hurt feelings and their pride and this and that and the other, they will not forgive and they will not release that individual. But when you look at it at the right way and you say, now look, I have the choice here. I must determine value. Will I forgive this person? Will I release them? And when I release them, I am not going to bring it up again. Oh my. And you weigh it out. So which weighs the most? My feelings, my pride. Oh my, look at the scale. My feelings, my pride. I was humiliated. I was embarrassed. I can't believe they said this about me on Facebook. I can't believe it. Well, if that's all you feed into the scale, you can see which way you're going to go. But then you look and say, all right, I was humiliated. I was embarrassed. I don't understand why she said that, why he did that. But who is this? This is my best friend. We've been friends for years. This is my sister in the flesh. This is my brother. This is my aunt, my uncle. It's up to you. Weigh it out. So let's put you on the scale, shall we? Shall we begin with your cussing? Shall we begin with you men looking at women when you shouldn't look at them? Oh my goodness, in 5 minutes there won't be a person left in this building. So let's put all of our shortcomings in the scale and let God look at us. And weigh us and see. Do I even want to fool with this outfit? But His love will outweigh our shortcomings every time. But Brother Donnie, He's God. I know that. And He's give birth. God don't give birth to idiots. God don't give birth to demons. God gives birth to deity in human bodies, which can forgive the way He can forgive. Glory be to God. Forgiveness means that we choose. We're not threatened to do it. We're not forced to do it. We choose to not dwell on the offense. Which is greater, the power of unforgiveness or the power of forgiveness? Each of you should know that answer. You shouldn't have to think about it. You sit here today forgiven by the grace of God. Which is greater, Satan causing you to sin or God being able to forgive you? Put it in the past as if though it never happened. Forgiveness means that we release the desire to get even. Don't you understand, friends? Forgiveness is as much for us as it is for the person who's trespassed against us. Amen. This is why people don't do it so much. They don't understand the benefit of being able to forgive. Praise be to God. How does this little fox spoil the vine? It starts out with a little bit of resentment and a little bit of anger and a little bit of, I don't understand. I have been so good to her. I've done so much for her. I've done so much for him. How could he do me this way? So you see what you're battling? It's still about you, isn't it? He hurt my feelings. It caused such turmoil in our church. I love it whenever I'm able to meet a troublemaker who's been here at the church. And we've had lots. But this is the way I look at it. Troublemakers come and they go. But the church keeps going on. Now, all of you that have moved here, you're welcome to come here as long as you obey and, you know, do everything right. But let me just say this up front. We was perfectly fine before you come. We'll be perfectly fine when you leave. We can make it without you. As a matter of fact, there's none of us, including me, that is not replaceable. There's only one who comes to this church that's not replaceable, and that happens to be the Lord Jesus. All the rest of us can come and go, and no doubt more will, and we'll do whatever. But you know what? The real church of the living God keeps going right on. But I love it when I'm able to meet somebody and I know that they've told this lie and that lie and another lie. And I'm able to meet them and see them and not feel nothing in here but pity and love and forgiveness. I seen someone several years ago at a funeral down in Kentucky. That individual did me great harm and damage. And I was but a young fellow. Awful. Horrible things. Oh God. It was at a funeral. This individual come in on a walker. I saw him. Carol grabbed me by the hand. You all right? I'm all right. But as I saw him, memories, flashbacks, hurts. My heart was about to explode. My feet started bouncing off the floor. Not out of anger, confusion. Carol's still rubbing me. You okay? I'm all right. He got up, looked at the body there. Turned around, walked back out, spotted me in the congregation, smiled. I knew within myself the Lord God had accomplished a victory. I didn't hate the man. Humanly, I had every right to. Humanly. Because of what he had done to me. The nightmares. The pain. The anxiety. But I felt pity. Sympathy. As a matter of fact, if it hadn't been out of order, I could have got up and danced a little bit. Because of what God had done in my heart. Does that mean I want to go out and eat lunch with him? Not hardly. Does that mean I want to be best buds? Not hardly. But it meant God had done something in me. Would I want to have sat there and feel anger and walk up to him and punch him in the face? That's not the kind of man I am. I'm a Christian. I'm not mind telling you it runs in the Schultz side and in the Reagan side to get even with folks. But you see, I'm not just a Reagan, and I'm not just a Schultz. I'm deity in a human Reagan Schultz body. Come on. Many of you could share similar stories that would be as heart-wrenching or even more so than mine. Would I want to trade places with the person who was treated as I was and never let go of it and that thing destroy them? No, sir. No, ma'am. Oh, it may be looked upon in this world and this age that we live in. Oh, it's a sissy to forgive. It's not a sissy. It's a God. It's God-like to forgive from within you. Although this man never asked me to forgive him, and more than likely never will. Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads. Let's just stop right here. Forgiveness means we release the desire for revenge. To get even. We don't even want that person to go to hell. No. We hope and pray God can forgive them. Friends, if you're struggling with it, no doubt all of us have. Maybe some of you are right in the middle of trying to now today. May God help you. I'm not just preaching this something for you to do to others, but it's something that will benefit you and release you. Well, Brother Donnie, it's hard. I know it's hard. You think it ain't hard on me? Knowing people that have sat right here in our church and released portions and parts of videos to all kinds of people in the social media, and my name be plastered all over Google and all over YouTube. You don't know the loss that I've suffered, loss of sleep, worry, and anxiety. Much less the brothers here at the church that have to deal with all the phone calls and the emails and all the trash. You think it's easy to deal with? I'll tell you it ain't. Oh, I know some of you, the things, the hurts that you've had, the way men have treated your daughters, the way daughters have treated your sons, the way people at the church maybe have treated you. It's not easy. But neither was it easy when our God left heaven, come down to the earth. They spit in his face. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. It wasn't easy. But he did it for our sake. Amen. Can we stand together? The little fox of unforgiveness. You may be so camoed by your feelings and by your emotions that you're looking straight at him today and you can't see him. But let God search your heart. And when you see this individual that hurts you, or just the very thought of that individual crosses your mind, or someone mentions them, how do you feel within? How does the dendrites of your brain, which is formulated memories like tree branches that run out in your memory section of your psyche, and whenever this person's name is mentioned, how does that make you feel? You see, those dendrites release hormones and endorphins and all kinds of things in our bodies. And it's associated with us of how we associate and think with this individual or a thing. Doesn't have to be a person. And certain emotions will flood over us. Anxiety, hurt, heartache, pain, sorrow. This is buried deep within our psyche of the dendrites of our brains, which are associated with the memory part of us of how we remember this person. And sometimes you don't even know it's there. You don't even realize it's there until something will trigger that memory. All of a sudden, a hormone or an endorphin will be released in your body. And this emotion, this feeling comes over you of anger or hurt or anxiety. Or, if God has helped you, forgiveness. You'll feel yourself overwhelmed with pity. You think of that, that God is able to go into your brain and rewire the dendrites of your brain. When there should be feeling of hate and absolute disgust for that individual. But God so gets a hold of your life that when someone mentions that individual, praise be to God. Just now, as I've spoken to you of my own hurt, I feel the rush of pity and mercy. Glory. Glory. You want to see miracles? You say, I ain't seeing God do nothing. Open your eyes. So many things have happened to us, Brother Dow. We ought to be nothing but walking human beings full of hate and anxiety and disappointment. Why aren't you? God helps you to forgive.
in reality, those that aren't even worth your forgiveness. There'll be some that you'll forgive for the person of Christ that stand there before God in that day of judgment, and they will wind up being lost and go to hell and will perish. But you'll go to heaven where you come from. And the reason you forgive is because that is where you come from. Your destiny, my friends, your destiny is not just based on where you're going. Your destiny is based on your origination. It's not that God looks down through time and seen where you're going to wind up. God looked before time and saw where you came from. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, help us today, Lord. Please. We need your help. Oh my God. You alone know the hurts, the anxiety, the suffering that these people visible have gone through. Lord, I see some here today. Lord God, they've went through so much stuff. No doubt there'll be people that'll hear this service. For us to hear their stories would be unfathomable in our minds. But yet, God, you take a human being and you change them. You fill them with your life. You give them the power to forgive in your stead. The devil and his demons must marvel. We think it's miracles that take Satan's breath away. But I wonder, is it? For false anointed ones can do miracles and signs. Is it miracles that devils gasp when they see us do? Or is it forgiveness? Is it the display of godly character that is so perfect? Because these are things Satan cannot do. He don't have the ability to forgive. He doesn't have the ability to love. Praise God. We want to be great and we want to be phenomenal. And we want to be so outstanding and so wonderful. And yet we laugh at preaching on love and forgiveness. It shows how little we understand. Satan will have more signs than any of us preachers. He could stand and prophesy, even knows the future to a certain extent. Can be able to do things that we would just be overwhelmed by. But he can't love. He can't forgive. He does not have the ability within his angelic being to look at another person and say, I forgive you. I forgive you of the hurt. I forgive you of the anxiety that you've caused me. Furthermore, I release you. I release you from the guilt. Blessed be the Lord God. You told us in your word, whoever sins, you remit. They are remitted. And whosoever sins, you retain. They are retained. Lord God, is this part of the final phase that we as your people will enter into? That forgiveness will play such a final part of third pull faith. For this quote that I read about faith being based upon forgiveness was preached in the sermon, Perfect Faith. We thought it would be one great miracle or another. The tape people think one day they'll find a tape or something. Oh, it's something that we've never heard before. And we'll hear that certain tape that's never been found. And oh, that'll be it. That'll produce in the bride. Other people said it's been the seven thunders. Oh, it's the Perugia doctrine. It's this or that or the other. Is it? Or is it God living in our hearts, expressing Himself in such a way that He can forgive through us, heal through us, release people of their wrongs? Lord Jesus, if there's anyone who sinned against me, dear God, as your servant, today for Christ's sake, I forgive them. I know many have, many even still to this day, try to cause me great harm. Many, Lord, that have even threatened my life, threatened to kill me. I forgive them. I do not long for them to be in hell, but I pray somehow, save them, Lord. May, Lord God, not I be the only one in this service today, but may you search the heart of every deacon, every trustee, every lay member, every person that is or will stream this service. May they be able to search their heart and say, Lord, have I forgiven this person? You say they've done me terrible wrong. Have I released them, Lord? Or do I still get something out of it by talking about it and bringing it up over and over again? I'm going to tell you, some of you right now, you've not let go of it because it's still too fresh in your memory. You still talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. There'll come a victory to your life one day when you're able to let go of people's trespasses and completely forgive them from your heart. And then the only time that you'll want to bring it up is in the form of a testimony. You'll never know the anxiety of how I feel right now bringing up what I just spoke about a while ago. Right now I feel like this building is laying on my heart. Laying on my chest. And I only do that when I feel the nudge of the Holy Ghost, and He has to nudge me so hard because it kills me. But if one person can be helped by it, it'll be worth it. When we get to the place to where we as the people of God can lay aside our hurts. I sat just a few days ago with a preacher from Europe that come through here and wanted to meet with me and have breakfast. He and I sat in a local restaurant in Johnson City. I knew he wanted to talk to me, but I didn't know what about. Talked to me about this. We went this way and that way and that way. And he kind of started around a little bit. And finally got in the direction. He said, Brother Donnie, 11 years ago, me and my wife was driving down the road in this European country, listening to a sermon called Scarred Human Beings. He said, I pulled over in a parking lot at a store and I wept and cried. Began to talk to his wife about scars and things that had happened to him as a boy. He said, outside of her, you're the only man I've ever told this to. I saw this giant of a man, I'm talking about a Christian brother in faith, sit there, tears running down his face, shaking like a child, trembling because of reliving these moments. But I could see also in the brother the look of forgiveness. Wasn't that he hated that man. Wasn't that he hated that priest. But he'd experienced forgiveness and been released. Praise God. If you haven't let God do that for you today, let me just give you a warning with a heads up. Maybe you've never experienced that. God may be forewarning some of you for next week or next month that you will be faced with a situation like none other in your life.
Remember, God don't just preach for past things, but sometimes He forewarns us for future. Know that God can empower you to forgive. With our heads bowed, how many would like to be remembered today? That whether past, present, or future, God will help you to love like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, not to walk on water necessarily, not to take a few fishes and a few biscuits and be able to feed a bunch of people, but to be able to forgive when you're run down, when you're trespassed against and harmed so severely. Yet with the love of God in your heart, you're able to forgive and release that individual. Who knows? It might be the power of forgiveness in you that'll help lead that person back to their way. Praise God. Lord Jesus, may You deal with every heart today, Father. Mine included, Lord. Help me. Help each of us, Lord God, to be like You, to love like You. Oh, Jesus. We sing the song, to be like Jesus. But I wonder what we have in our mind when we sing those lyrics. What do we think? Lord Jesus, in heaven there'll be no miracles. In heaven there'll be no walking on water. So those things are not really eternal attributes which will be expressed down the streets of gold. So what will eternity continually unveil about Your being? Love. Your love. Your greatness. Help us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We worship You, Lord God. O great Adonai, mighty God, everlasting Father. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that I'm holding something against, reveal it to me, Lord. We know the Holy Ghost not only deals with sins that we know about, but secret sins. Secret sins is not necessarily something we do in secret, but it's something that is a secret to us. We don't know it. We don't even realize that it's wrong until You bring it to our conscience. So Lord, if there's a secret sin in our hearts, our lives, make it known today, blessed God, that we can make it right. We love You with all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Can we just worship Him just a little bit before we go? You love Him today, saints. If God brings someone to your heart, someone to your mind, that you need to forgive them. They may be 5,000 miles away from you. Just write in your heart, Lord, I forgive them. And forgive me for holding this grudge against them. I release them, Lord. Release me from any hard feeling. Friends, how in the world can we think we are ready for a rapture? We've got message people that won't even speak to one another. We've got folks that will not even shake one another's hands. We've got folks that will, oh my goodness, the attitude they have. So what do you think? The rapture is all of a sudden going to make you a different person than what you already are? What are you thinking the rapture is going to do for you? The rapture is not going to change your character. The rapture is going to change your body and give you a new human body. It's not going to change one thing about your character and your makeup. That's not what the rapture is for. The Word of God is what's doing this now. Conviction of the Holy Ghost for us to make things right. Well, I know we don't like services like this. I don't like preaching them, but we need them. We need them. These ain't my favorite kind of sermons, and you know I don't like preaching them. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to preach them till we get out of here as long as the Lord is on my heart. We need it. Hallelujah. I believe God has given us a word that will preach us into the body change. It will preach us right into the brink of
of eternity. You will hear your last sermon by some preacher one day. You'll hear the last sermon. You'll make your last confession. You'll make your last repentance. God, forgive me. And you'll never say it again. You'll never say those words again. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. It will be the last repentance you will ever make. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you can still do it? That you still have a desire to do so. Sing something, Harry. What the Lord puts on your heart. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
To be like Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
On earth I long.
Do you want to be like him?
To be like him. All through my journey from earth to glory, I only ask to Spirit flow.
Seems that I'm so good
at
making promises.
Oh, Jesus, blessed be your name.
A long, long time ago.
Oh, Lord God. Oh, Jesus.
But each time he forgives, what if he relives the agony on that tree?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? If I'm causing him pain, I know I've got to change. I just can't bear the thought of hurting him.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Holy,
yes, Lord God.
You're holy.
Can we just worship together before we go?
It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Just a couple announcements before I let you go. I've got some sad news to deliver to you today. Makes my heart feel sad and heavy. Brother Amos and Sister Lisa, which have been journeying with us for many, many years, are going to start attending Brother Sean Martin's church up in Blacksburg, Virginia. And we'd just certainly love them. We're going to miss them. But Brother Amos had been thinking about it for quite some time. And actually, they used to attend that church years ago. Brother Dale Ketch was there. Many of you knew Brother Dale, and he'd passed away. And Brother Sean Martin has since become the pastor and doing a great work, from what I understand. Just a fine brother. Got a good work going on there. He doesn't have very much help as far as the ministry is concerned. And Brother Amos had been feeling that tug in that direction and thinking that might be of a benefit and a help to Brother Sean, helping him and also the saints there. And I don't know if you've ever driven the distance from up in Virginia there from where they live, but I'm telling you, it's quite a sacrifice.
I know there's folks that drive here from Georgia and Alabama and different places, and we certainly want to say how much we love and appreciate Brother Amos, Sister Lisa. We love them with all of our hearts, don't we? We love them and appreciate them, and we want them to know they're certainly welcome to come back and visit us at any time. Amen. We're brothers and sisters striving together for the same place. We may have to say goodbyes in this life. And the will of God pulls some this way and some that way. But one of these days we'll all be gathered together where there'll be no goodbyes. Amen. Brother Amos, Sister Lisa, come talk to me several weeks ago. And I've known about it for several weeks, but I've just kept it on my heart. It's just been kind of a heavy feeling that I've had, you know. But if you know me very well, you know that I would never try to talk anybody out of doing what they felt God wanted them to do. So be sure and try to make around if you can. Shake your hand. Tell them how much you love them and appreciate them. Brother Amos, Sister Lisa, we love you all. God bless you. Also, the Bible school, Vacation Bible School, will start tomorrow night through Friday night. We just want to pray for our teachers, the speakers that will be speaking, Brother Wes, myself also be speaking to the youth over there. Just pray that God will give something for our youth. They do crafts. They do natural things. But remember, the most important thing is not just to make them laugh and make them happy, but something that will help them. Something that'll help them in what they go through in life. Other people have come in. There'll be others that'll come in from different states bringing their children to be a part of it. It's not just about hoopla and a bunch of ha-ha-ha's, but we want something that they can be able to take home with them. I appreciate Brother Michael going to all the effort and putting forth all the work, all the teachers, all the work that they've done. Brother Michael's been over to the pavilion over there for about 2 weeks or so, decorating, getting ready for it. Some of the teachers have been preparing and working on their lessons for about 5 months, trying to find things that will be a benefit to your children. I appreciate them. Remember, they don't get paid for that. It's not like we give them an hourly wage and something. They do not have to do it. They give up their time that they'd like to do this and that. I appreciate it myself, don't you? I appreciate it. Certainly do. God bless you. And now I'm feeling all sentimental. Brother Amos, y'all done made me sad. I'm feeling all teary-eyed and cry. Hurry, sing something so we can go home before I break down. God bless you, saints. I love you. Church Wednesday night. Amen. Appreciate you so much. Won't it be wonderful when we gather there? Amen. All of our sorrows and troubles will be lifted away. God bless you. I love you. Go in the fear of God.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus.